Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara Amore, who's going to come and conduct our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you want to join us and give your comments and thoughts and on what the writer is saying, please feel free to dial 319-527-5 527-6204 at 7 p.m. to join our Bible study. Amen. Praise be to God. So at this time, I just want to say a short prayer, and then I want to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. Amen. So Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord.
Amen. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. God in heaven. God in heaven, lift up your mighty arm and open your outstretched hand in our life that we may experience your power. Help us to know you more through our relationship with you, your Holy Spirit, and your Son, Jesus Christ. We want to understand your desires so that we can make them our own desires. We want to know your will so that we can walk in the blessings and favor of your way. Grant us your favor, God in heaven, because your favor is over all, and nothing can stand in the way of our destiny when your hand is upon us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Friday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And all you have to do is call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. To God be the glory. At this time, I'd like to play another selection, and it is entitled Hold On to the Hem of His Garment by Robert Wiggins. Praise God.
Oh, yeah. And sometimes we don't treat everybody like you want to be treated. Yep, there will be times when your efforts will be defeated. I know sometimes you're heavy laden burden. Can't find a friend, can't stop your heart. Hurting, you're searching deep within. Where did it all go wrong? And you need a savior to give you the strength to go on. Hold on,
hold on
to the hem,
to the hem
of his garment.
All you need is a little faith to receive saving grace.
Hold on,
hold on
to the hem of his garment,
of his garment.
Don't let Jesus pass you by. He'll make everything alright. Heard a story about a woman who had an issue of blood. For 12 long years she was flowing like a flood. Even the doctor had given up on hope. But she heard about a man called Jesus who could perform miracles. So she started crawling through the crowd on her hands and knees.
somebody touch me. Jesus can feel the healing start to flow. Then he looked at this woman and said, your faith has made you whole. Hold on.
Hold on
to the hem of his garment. All you need is a little faith to receive his saving grace. Hold on.
Hold on
to the hem of his garment. Don't let Jesus pass you by. You'll make everything alright. Oh yes. My. All you gotta do is hold on.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
Doesn't matter what you're going through. No, 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 no. You just reach out and hold on.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
Make a way for you. Hold on.
Hold on.
Hold on
to the hem of his garment.
Don't let Jesus go. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. Hold on.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
Strong and mighty he will show. All you gotta do is hold on to Jesus.
Hold on,
yeah,
to the hem of his garment.
Hold on to Jesus.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
He will make a way for you.
Hold on,
oh, yes,
to the hem of his garment.
And I know he will see it through.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
You see, he's a mighty good God. Oh,
hold
yes, he is.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
Whoa,
oh,
hold on
to the hem of his garment.
Lord, have mercy.
Hold on.
Hallelujah.
To the hem of his garment.
Hey.
Hold on.
You gotta
to
just
the
say.
Hem.
Amen. Praise be to God. Let us lift him up by Brian Cage.
Father, we ask you now, as we lift your name, that you'll dwell among us and be our God, and we are your people. Let's realize this together. Come on, the problem.
The problem may be.
He's in control.
He's in control and he knows
yep,
everything.
I have the victory cause.
I have the victory for he is my king.
In him I live, I move.
In him I live, move and have my being.
Say it again. No matter what.
No matter what. The problem may be.
He's in control.
He's in control and he knows everything.
How many know that you got the victory?
I have the victory for he is my king.
In him I live, I move.
In
and
him I live, move.
Control.
He's in control and he knows everything.
I have the victory.
I have the victory.
for he is my king.
In him I live.
In him I live, move and have my being.
Say that again. No matter what.
No matter what the problem may
be. Come on, clap your hands like this and sing it with us.
He's in control and he knows everything.
Him I live. If you believe that, sing this with us. Let the people. Come on, lift him.
God, Jehovah Hashapet, the Lord, the judge. The Lord, the judge. Sometimes people rise up against us when we have not wronged them. In the book of Judges, the Israelites called to you because they had not wronged their enemy. And yet their enemy was raging war against them. They appeared to you as the judge to decide the dispute as you do so well. Praise you for your justice, your scales of fairness, and for hearing my prayer when we are in need of justice. You are a righteous God, offended by evil and wholly devoted to justice. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And it's as simple as that. You can call in your prayer request at 319-527-6204. And we are here to take your prayer requests between 6 and 7 p.m. every Tuesday through Friday. Amen. At this time, I will play another selection, and after the selection, I will come back with our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Amen. Praise be to God.
Triumphant in my healer to
Amen. Praise be to God. Ooh. Our daily bread this evening is entitled Authentic Christianity. And my scripture reading is coming from Matthew's chapter 5, verses 3 through 10. And this is Jesus speaking. And it says, God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God bless those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God bless those who are hungry and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God bless those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God bless those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God bless those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and the doing of his mighty word. Amen. Praise be to God. The text for this message is coming from Matthew's chapter 5, verse 12, and it says, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Amen. Praise be to God. The writer says, I applied for a position in a Christian organization years ago and was presented with a list of legalistic rules having to do with the use of alcohol, tobacco, and certain forms of entertainment. We expect Christian behavior from our employees. Was the explanation? I could agree with this list because I, for reasons mostly unrelated to my faith, did not do those things. But my argumentative side thought, why don't they have a list about not being arrogant, insensitive, harsh, spiritually indifferent, and critical? None of these were addressed. Following Jesus cannot be defined by a list of rules. It is a subtle quality of life that's difficult to qualify, but can best be described as beautiful. The Beatitudes in Matthew's 5, 3 through 10 sums up that beauty. Those who are indwelled by and dependent on the Spirit of Jesus are humble and self-effacing. They are deeply touched by the suffering of others. They are gentle and kind. They long for goodness in themselves and in others. They are merciful to those who struggle and fail. They are single-minded in their love for Jesus. They are peaceful and leave behind a legacy of peace. They are kind to those who misuse them, returning good for evil. And they are blessed, a word that means happy. In the deepest sense, kind of life attracts the attention of others and belongs to those who come to Jesus and ask him for it. Amen. To God be the glory. Question. Which of the attributes from Matthew 5 do you especially need in your life? And how can you grow in this? Think about those two questions. Amen. Let us pray. Spirit of God, please produce these characteristics from the Beatitudes in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. So see, and that is, concludes our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Amen. So at this time, again, I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, taking prayer requests at this time. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. And at 7 p.m., our very own Barbara Amore will be here to conduct our lesson, our Bible school lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. Amen. Praise God. I hope you enjoyed this selection.
So it's because of my my message, is it okay for me to sing instead of me praying, that my prayer would be a song?
Absolutely.
Okay. Because it coincides with the message.
Yeah.
And okay. That is my prayer.
Okay. It's a short prayer.
Hold me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. From this place where I'm at, yeah. I need an answer, and you know all the facts. I'm done all I can, tired of making mistakes, over and over again. So I'm calling on you, and you always know what to do. So I'm praying to thee. When I get up, I'll stand in victory. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Take away the hurt. When I can't seem to make it work, I've done all that I can. Turn on your word, I'm ready to stand. So I'm hearing your voice in silence and in melody, yeah. So I'm flowing in your will. All that I am, I have to fulfill. Oh, move me, Lord. Yeah, take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me. Yeah, move me, Lord. Yeah, take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me. Yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah. take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me. Yeah.
Amen. Praise God. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara Amore is going to come with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. Amen. So at this time, I will play another selection. Victory.
Down inside,
and happy and free.
My heart's
Amen. Praise be to God. The victory. Hallelujah, Jesus. Okay, so at this time, I will say, the Lord, the judge. We confess that when we are wrong, we don't always turn to you for your justice. Instead, we throw ourselves a pity party. Forgive us for our episodes of self-pity. Help us know the confidence we can feel in your execution of judgment. Truly, you are able to render justice on our behalf far better than we could. Please forgive us when we forget to call on you for your judgment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. So while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening, I will play another selection. Amen.
This means
war.
This means
Amen. Praise be to God. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. At this time, we are going to get ready to go into the second part of our program for this evening, where our very own Barbara Amore is going to come and conduct our lesson this evening in basic theology by Charles C. Ryrie, and we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
God bless you, Barbara. How are you this evening?
Good evening. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
I'm blessed, thank you.
Wonderful. We the only ones on the line?
Right now, yes.
Okay, I'm going to open in prayer and we'll get started with the lesson.
Okay.
Precious and Heavenly Father, we come to you to say thank you. Father God, thank you for waking us up this morning, starting us on our way, giving us the strength to continue with the mind stayed on you, Father God. We thank you for blessing us to see a day, a new day that we've never seen before. Lord, I ask that you bless everyone that's on this line, those that are coming on the line, those that thought about the line, thought about pray one for another, even in their distant absence. So, God, we just want to thank you once more. I ask that you forgive us of our sins, those of omission and commission. I pray for the bereaved families right now, those who are in grief right now, Father God. They don't know any other way, but you are the way. And I hope that they just remember that you make no mistakes. You're God all by yourself, and you do all things well, and I pray that they will find comfort in Jesus as they go through this hard time. I've been there myself, so I understand. I pray for those who are incarcerated behind bars, for those who are the prisoners as well as the correction officers, the wardens, the president of the United States, those leaders in all kinds of countries throughout the world, Father God. I pray for the catastrophes that are happening to our people throughout the world, the mudslides, the fires, the floods, so many things, the sicknesses, just so many things, Father God. You know what they are, and I pray that whatever it is, you'll bring the people through, and they'll be better for it after it's all said and done. I thank you for clearing up what's going on in Surfside, Florida. They're coming to an end of their search. I think they found 97 bodies. There may be others still missing, but at least the rubble is being cleared up so that they can go even deeper as to whatever their plans are. But you have the plans, Father God. They just need to listen and follow your guidance. God, we just thank you once more. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough for your favor, your mercy, your unconditional love, your just grace. Just for you, Father God. Thank you for what you've done, what you're going to do, and what you're doing right now. Lord, we love you. Bless all the pastors and the clergy affiliated with this line. And thank you to Apostle R.D. Wiggins for thinking about doing something like what is being done. Bless and keep us, Father God. Bless Evangelist Hilda as she goes about carrying out those duties. Love you, Lord. We thank you. And again, if I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Praise be to God.
So we're going to get started with our lesson. I don't know if you were able to continue last week.
About the millennium.
Chapter 24, starting the next chapter.
Oh, 24, yeah.
You were able to continue last week?
Oh, I'm not sure I understand what you're saying.
Was there a class
last week? No, we didn't
have class.
No.
Okay, good evening.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm fine. I'm good. I'm great.
Okay. So we're going to pick up where we left off with chapter 24, The Activities of Satan. And we did have homework, which I'm not going to get into at the moment. But I'm going to, as I usually do, I'll read a scripture. And when I ask you to read it, I'll ask you to give us the reading of the scripture, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Continuing the Activities of Satan, chapter 24, we're on page 166. The variety of names that Satan has alerts us to the fact that he can attack his opponent in a variety of ways. From the fierceness of a dragon, Revelation 12 and 3, to the attractiveness of an angel of light, 2 Corinthians 11 and 14. Satan can adapt himself and his tactics to suit the person and the occasion. Although he may prefer to operate in a certain manner, he will meet people where they are and use whatever might defeat them in particular circumstances. Though not all-knowing, Satan has observed many others in situations in which we may find ourselves, and he can predict with a high degree of accuracy what will best defeat us. And I'm going to ask Lady Nikki to get Revelation 12 and 3 and Evangelist Hilda to get 2 Corinthians 11 and 14. You can read it when you find it.
Revelation 12 and 3 reads, then another sign appeared in heaven.
The first one is, if I may, the first one is talking about the fierceness of a dragon, and then the second one will be talking about the angel of light. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So the first one is the fierceness. Then another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having seven heads and 10 horns, and on his head were 7 crowns.
Okay, thank you. Evangelist, 2 Corinthians 11 and 14.
Okay.
Angel of light.
But I am not surprised. Even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light.
Amen. Any thoughts about those two scriptures?
Anyone? Yeah, the fact that Satan describes himself as an angel of light, that's like, really, Satan? Really, you are
and
the angel of happens. Darkness.
No, he can change himself.
Yep.
He's changeable. What it's saying, he can be like a dragon.
Oh, disguising. Right.
Or he can be attractive. So...
Uh-huh.
You know, people get caught up in that.
Right.
Amen. He knows what he's doing. He's not doing it alone. He has this imp to assist him.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
What happened?
I said he has his little imps helping him.
Yes, he does. Number one, in relation to Christ. This is talking about the activities of Satan in relation to Christ. The animosity between Satan and Christ was first predicted after the sin of Adam and Eve, Genesis 3 and 15. Nadine, get that, and when we're ready. The enmity, thank you, between spiritual descendants of Satan and the family of God was predicted here. Also, an individual, Christ, from among the woman's seed would deal a fatal blow to Satan's head. While Satan would bruise Christ's heel, a non-fatal blow, but one that caused him great suffering, this exchange of blows took place at the cross. You can read Genesis 3:15 now, please.
Yes. And I will put hostility between you and between the woman and between your offspring and between her offspring. He will strike you on the head, and you will strike him on the heel.
Amen. Any thoughts about that? No, we're going. When our Lord did actually appear on this earth, Satan made concerted attempts to thwart his mission to die for the sins of the world. Undoubtedly, Herod's killing of the children under two was Satan's plot inspired. Matthew 2 and 16. Get that? Matthew 2 and 16. I'll call you to read it. Christ clearly said that Peter aligned himself with Satan's plan when Peter wanted to dismiss the idea that Christ would have to die in Jerusalem. Nadine gets 1 through 23. Matthew. And then the sharpness of Christ's rebuke underscores the fact that his central purpose in coming to earth was to die. When Judas was about to betray the Lord, Satan entered into him. John 13 and 27. Evangelist, get that. After you 2 and 16, then we go to Lady Nazine and then back to you.
Mm-hmm. So you want me to read that now?
Not ma'am, when
two.
I call
2.
Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Oh, yeah, so 16. Matthew 2 and 16, Hilda.
Okay. So Herod was furious when he realized that the wise men had outwitted him. He sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, based on the wise men's report of the star first appearance. Amen.
Okay. And we remember that story that we often talk about Christmas.
Yeah. Jesus fled to Egypt. And then 21 through 23 says, from that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid, Lord, this will never happen to you. But he turned around and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a cause for stumbling to me, because you are not intent on the things of God, but the things of people. Ain't that something? So
think about
Jesus
that.
He saw Satan in Peter. I mean, because he wasn't saying this to Peter, because you know what I'm saying? He saw the forces of Satan broken through Peter.
Yes.
But, wow.
So did was Peter deliberately trying to be satanic?
I don't think that was Peter's intention. I think Peter's intention was out of love, like, oh no, you know, you're not going anywhere. But I think in addition to that being Peter's intention, you know, like we just read how, you know, how Satan will use anything anybody that he can. And he knew what Peter's weak spot was. He knew how much Peter loved Jesus. So he was actually using Peter to hopefully make Jesus feel, you know, guilty, you know, or whatever. But, of course, he couldn't make Jesus feel that way, because Jesus knew exactly what his intent was by having Peter say that to him.
Mm-hmm.
So if Christ had done what Peter was suggesting, which was to not go to die in Jerusalem, what do you think would have happened?
But then there would be no
We would all be dead.
Right. It would be
we would all be dead.
Yeah. There would be no us, no world, no nothing.
Why do you think that?
Because God hates sin, and we are all sinners. We are sinners from the time Adam was born. Mm-hmm. And the
right.
only way that God could see us as righteous is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And if there was no
right.
blood of Jesus Christ, then we would not be seen as righteous.
So you think we would have never been born had Jesus not gone to the cross?
I think we probably, I'm not saying that we wouldn't have been born. Yeah, we would have been people living here, but we would not be, you know, God would have to destroy us all.
Okay, because I heard somebody say we would all be dead.
No, I mean God would have to destroy us like he did, you know, with Noah,
in
with the whole world.
Day.
He destroyed the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
So they were all sinners except for Noah and his son. And because God hates sin, I mean, he would have had to destroy us all.
Okay, but you remember, too, that they were sacrificing before Christ came. And that was accepted. Remember?
That. Right, because they were following, they were following God, but they couldn't keep the law. Even though
right.
God gave the law. They couldn't keep the law, and this
mm-hmm.
is why he had to bring Christ, because
right.
they were still sinning. They were sacrificing and sinning at the same time.
Well,
so,
listen, we have Christ, and we're still sinning now. So,
but we are those who have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. You know, God, the blood of Jesus covers us, and we're supposed to confess our sins and repent
uh-huh.
from them.
Right.
So, I mean, that's what Christ has done for us in our lives. We have that opportunity to go to Christ and ask for forgiveness, and we will be forgiven.
Okay, because we still sinning. That's all I'm trying to make a point of. We
of
still
course
sinning.
We are, and God knows
because
that. That's why he
sends the commission. Things we don't even know about. We're still doing it wrong, okay?
Exactly. But that's
so
why
still,
Jesus died
still
for, that,
living,
for that purpose.
And we're still sinning. But because Christ came and he was on his mission, he came to die for our sins. Because he atoned for our sins, then we have the right to the tree of life.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said earlier, it was so many commandments that, no, we can't keep them all. And God realized that. That's why he sent his son.
Right. You should come on.
But we have that John 13 and 27. Would you read that, talking about Satan entering
yeah,
into Judas?
John 13, 27 says, when Judas had eaten the bread, Satan entered into him. Then Jesus told him, hurry and do what you're going to do. So in other words, do what you're going to do in a hurry. Leave now, go. And that's what he did.
Okay.
He left. He went and he betrayed Jesus. And everybody know the story after that.
Okay. All right. But the principal and most direct attack of Satan on our Lord was at his temptation. Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Nadine, would you get that? When I'm ready, I'll call you.
Yes.
Word test
okay.
or tempt includes two ideas, proving and soliciting to evil, and Satan's testing of Christ involved both facets. In the process of Satan soliciting him to commit evil, God would prove through the test that Christ was sinless. God and Satan
mm-hmm.
were both involved in his test. The Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness place in order that he might be tempted by the devil. For 40 days, Satan tempted him with many temptations. Evangelists get Luke 4:2. And during that period, our Lord fasted. This served to sensitize him. During that period, our Lord fasted. This served to sensitize him against all the tests, but especially against the three attacks that came at the end of those 40 days. These three were the epitome of the areas in which a person can be tested: the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. 1 John 2:16. I'm going to ask Evangelist Hilda to read that when we ask for it. Okay, Matthew 4:1-11. Nadine, please.
Yes. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God." Then the devil took him along into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will give his angels orders concerning you, and on their hands they will lift you up so that you do not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to test." Again, the devil took him along to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Mm-hmm. Then Jesus said to him, "Go away, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and began to serve him. So because I never looked at it broken down as we see it here. It was like, he's hungry. 40 days and 40 nights, he ain't eating.
Right.
And those are the three tests: the lust of the flesh, which is hunger.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, turn the stone to bread, which he could, but man does not live by bread alone. And as you read, the lust of the eye, like all of this can be yours, boastful pride and, boy, I tell you, because when I'm hungry, I think you want to eat.
And
Satan
didn't realize, I think Jesus already told him, that all of this is already mine. This belongs to my Father. It belongs to me. What can you give me that I don't already own? Belongs to my Father.
That's it.
So what are you talking
That's
about?
Right.
You're going to give me all the kingdoms of the world. Come on, Satan, beat it. All right, so look at that. Luke 4:2, Evangelist.
Where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days, Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry.
Amen. Has anyone on the line ever fasted?
I have. No, well, let me not say it. I haven't completely fasted. Like, I fasted until, 6 p.m., like half a day. My church had a fast, and you could do it any way you wanted to do it. You know, some people just did the full fast, but I only fasted during the day.
Okay.
Drank water, and then at 6 o'clock, I broke the fast.
Did you feel any different before you broke the fast?
I did.
How did you feel? Describe it.
Well, I can describe that throughout the day, you know, I basically throughout the day stayed in prayer because I had to stay in prayer in order for me not to go and get something to eat when everybody was eating lunch. You know, you just said, Lord, help me, Lord.
Yes.
You know, don't, I didn't want
don't
to break
that.
It.
Right.
But child, 5:55, what? I was like a crazy maniac eating.
Okay, I didn't mean so much when you broke the fast, because we know once
you mean during fasting, yeah.
Right, I'm saying, have you ever done that, Evangelist? Have you ever fasted?
Well, I had to fast for a test, and I had to fast for what, 2.5 to 3 days, you know, just clear liquid, but. You know, like, I was, like, very, very lightheaded, and I was feeling dizzy, and it's not a nice feeling, you know, because the
for me, the
smell of the food was making me nauseous because I was fasting for, like, 2-3 days.
Okay.
I was like, oh, so this is how it
Tell
feels.
Tell us about your fast. But it's different. But see, the motivation is different, Hilda. Fasting for a test,
for a medical thing,
it's a lot different for fasting for the Lord. If you're praying on
for
something.
Spiritual, yeah.
Oh,
so
but
spiritual,
fasted,
you're focused.
I love a fast.
Yes,
for that.
Yes,
for that.
Barbara. Tell
I
us about
fasted
yours.
For a number of days. I remember when we went to Hampton, we had the conference at Hampton, and I don't remember how many days I fasted, but I just know I wasn't eating anything, probably drinking water or whatever, but it was such a high, it was such a just a closeness to God that I didn't miss the food. I wasn't hungry. I wasn't looking, you know, for something to eat and couldn't wait for, you know, me to break the fat. I was just feeling so close to God. And so I was asking, and you didn't give me how you felt, not the breaking of it, but while you were going through it. I know you went to the Word and you prayed a lot. Anything else that you noticed?
No. Yeah, I did notice that. There was a calmness over me. There was like I just kind of remember just feeling just like floating, like just, you know, in meditation and just floating and feeling this calmness over me, you know. I felt clearer.
Yeah,
when I was reading the Word, I felt so much clearer. Like things seemed like it just came to me a lot clearer also. You know,
beautiful.
So yeah.
So you can imagine how Jesus was feeling after 40 days and 40 nights of not consuming anything. I don't even think he had water. I think he was just nothing, just a dry
nothing.
So he was quite sensitive, as this paragraph has said. He was very sensitive. And in that state, that was when the devil came to try to, hey, turn these stones into bread. I know you're hungry. You know,
Most
of the Bible, jump down, the angels are going to catch you. But my understanding is that even though he said those things, he misinterpreted. He knew scripture, but he misinterpreted. He was telling Jesus. Jesus knows it, you know, up and down, backwards and forwards. So he he knows that the cattle on 1,000 hills belongs to his father. And as we'll see later on, that had he gone on and turned the stones into bread, he would have been violating his relationship with his father, because his father didn't direct him to do that. That was not the will of his father. Amen.
No,
so he was,
amen.
He was obedient. That's the bottom line.
Yes.
And he wasn't tempted
yes.
by the flesh and, you know, the lust of the eyes and all that stuff, the boastful pride.
Yes.
So thank you. Thank you for sharing how you felt. Even Evangelist, how you felt with the medical fast. Because when you
mm-hmm.
abstain, it's not easy. It's not easy. So if you can go through it for X amount of days, I'm not going to put a number on it. The thing that you get out, the sensitivity to the Spirit of God is so profound. It's so good.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good. So, again, Evangelist, would you read 1 John 2 and 16, which talks about the lust of flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life? 1 John 2 and 16.
Okay, it says, for the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. Amen.
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 And we know how when trying to follow the Joneses, you know,
yes.
so-and-so
mm-hmm.
new,
keeping up with the Joneses.
You know, want to get a bigger one, a shinier one, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Just because. And you don't need it. You already have a little one.
Mm-hmm.
You
right,
may not be
right.
like it was, but you already got one.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway. Amen.
So Tamron Hall had on today on her show, she had different spiritual leaders. She had a Christian, she had a pastor, she had a rabbi, she had a Buddhist leader, and because they were all talking about, you know, things that happened, you know, with the pandemic and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the questions she had asked was, is faith related to religion? So the Buddhist person says, I said, you know what, I said, this lady, okay, the Buddhist woman, you know, she was black. The Buddhist woman says, no, faith is having faith in yourself, knowing what you've accomplished in your life, and having faith knowing that if you were able to do X, Y, and Z, you can do, you know, you can continue to do the things. So people need to have faith in themselves to know that they can do this. And I'm like, you need to have faith in yourself, okay? Because I ain't got faith in yourself. Right.
Yeah, you have a lot of people that believe that and have faith in themselves because they think that they are the ones who's doing everything to
right.
succeed.
Right.
They don't
right.
have
that's
don't have God
how
or Jesus
feel.
In the picture at all. It's all about
mm-hmm.
them.
Yeah. Anything else about Tamron Hall?
Yeah, who is she?
Good.
She comes on at 10 Tamron o'clock
Hall?
On Channel 7.
Oh,
Tamron
yeah,
Hall.
So she comes on right before The View. 10 o'clock on Channel 7.
Oh, that's 7. Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's black. She's black.
And she's the lady
has
with
talk show.
That has the short hair, and I think that she had cancer or something.
No, that's
no.
Robin.
Oh, that's the other one.
Yeah,
okay, there was
something
she looked, they look alike somewhere around.
This is a younger woman.
Yeah,
she comes on,
okay.
And she just had a son. I think the son might be 3 or 4. His name is Moses.
Oh. Okay.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, she's a beautiful woman. She dresses well. She dresses fly.
Very
and she
nice.
Has very,
very
high
very
topics
nice.
On her show. Very,
mm-hmm.
very beautiful topics. But
yes,
let's get back to this and that.
Mm-hmm.
It was something I was going to ask. Oh, I don't know if you saw the news today where they say this young, I don't know, 16-year-old pilot was flying his plane and he got into jeopardy and he had to land on the bridge. And
oh,
so
I saw the plane on the bridge.
He survived, and when he survived, they were saying he was happy not to crash on him. He didn't hurt anybody. He saw an opening in the traffic, and he was able to come to a safe landing. And I think they asked him how he did it, and he said, my training and my skill.
I'm like, no mention of God.
Raining and his God wasn't nowhere in that picture, huh?
He might have said something else, but it was two things. I know him. Him.
Right.
You know, glory to God, no thank God, no, you know, but for the grace of nothing except it was all him.
Well, just on the flip end of that is the, you ever watched the Cake Bosses, Cake Boss?
I have.
Cake Boss comes on. So the guy who usually, he's an Italian guy who makes all the cakes, he, you know, he was in a very severe accident, which he thought he would never be able to bake a cake again. But he didn't have a problem saying, thanks be to God, I'm here.
he knew
was so saying, like, thanks be to God that I'm here.
That's
you know,
right.
And being able to bake my cake. I said, you go ahead, give a thanks
that's
where
right.
you're supposed to go.
Bake my cake.
I saw him the other day. I forgot his name, but yes. We can't do it in our own strength. I mean, when are people going to realize that? That's
right.
When I'll just say this much too. When black folks usually win Oscar, Emmy, whatever, they usually give glory to God. Oh, thank God! You know,
yeah.
they get an occasion. Rarely will you hear them say the same. Grace to God, you know, glory to God, thanks to God.
Yeah.
But that's I don't want to say that's a black
except
thing,
on.
But we're known to do
no,
that.
No,
sometimes
wait.
We don't.
Except on
sometimes
Country
don't.
Western. If you ever look at Country
but.
Western,
mm-hmm.
Country Western Awards, they definitely say thank you. They said I'm
well, the Country, the Country Music Award.
Country Western Music Awards, they do.
Because mm-hmm. they're close to God. They, you know, they appreciate
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
They appreciate it. All right, let's go on. These were tests particularly suited to the God-man.
Mm-hmm.
Only he, not we, could turn stones to bread. Only he, capital H-E, talking about Jesus, that we could jump to the pinnacle of the temple and land unharmed in the area below. Only he expects to have all the kingdoms of this world. The basic purpose of Christ's temptation was to prove his competence to be the sinless Savior. That was the whole to prove that he would not fall, that he was competent enough to remain the sinless Savior. Satan was trying to cause us to deviate from the path purpose for which he came into the world and to make him independent from God and his plan by offering him glory without that's not what he was about. This then him substitutionary made his substitutionary death unnecessary. Specifically Satan Christ to independence, Matthew 4:3-4, to indulgence, 5-7, and to idolatry, 8-10. Evangelists get Matthew 4:5-7, and Nadine get 8-10, please. Matthew 4, talking about Christ's independence, his indulgence, and idolatry.
Okay. Ready for me to read?
Yep.
Okay. Matthew 4:5-7 says, then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, if you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scripture says, he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands, so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Jesus responded,
what do you think about that? I'm sorry.
Okay. number seven.
Go on, did you finish?
Jesus responded, the scripture also says, you must not test the Lord your God. Amen.
What do you think about that?
Well, the devil was trying everything that he could try to get Jesus to turn to his way, but he even quoted scripture, but Jesus also knew scripture, and he said to him, the scripture also says that you must not tempt God. So that's what he was doing, tempting God with all of God's things.
Go on, Evangelist, and then Nadine.
Because I was going to say, how are you going to tempt God with his own things, the world? Everything is his already. So what could you offer me? Nothing that is not mine already. Even you are mine.
Right? Okay. Nadine, what you want to say?
Yeah, and I was going to say, because this was too indulgent, and it's like he's telling him, you know, indulge yourself. The angels are going to catch you. God, Jesus already know that he's protected. The angels are going to come and do, you know, I don't have to prove that to you. I already know that. And that reminds me of, you know, when people tempt you to do things that you already know. You're like, I already know. You know, that God got me. It's almost like he's just telling him, indulge yourself. Why don't you just let the angels come and come and concern you and catch you? If you throw yourself off, why should I do that? What's the point of me doing that? I already know that they're going to be there to protect me. But I'm not going to test the Lord, because
prove to you, you know, that the angels have me. We already know that, devil. know that. That's for you to find out. I already know. And I just wanted to say, talking about 3 through 4, Matthew 4:3-4, would have gotten him away from the will of his father. That wasn't in his father's will. As we saw earlier, that we read it today, but when he was in the temple as a child, 13 years old teenager, he was a his business. Whatever his father told him to do, that's what he was doing. His father didn't tell him, you know, don't jump and don't turn these stones to bread. I mean, so he was dependent on his father. That's the bottom line. He was dependent on
him. That's the bottom line.
Amen.
Right. Even though his mother may have said, like, you know, because, you know, like when I first read that scripture, you know, people think about, because he said, what are you looking for me for? Don't you know I'm about my father's business? You know, a 12-year-old say that to you, be like, who do you think you're talking to?
Exactly.
Fresh. Rude, right?
Fresh. But that's what he was. He was about his father's business.
You brought me into the world. I never disrespected you, but right now I'm about my father's business.
Exactly.
Matthew 4:5-7, if you would. Lady Nadine.
She just read 3-4. She didn't do 3-4. She did 5-7, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah,
she skipped 3-4.
So we're going to go on to 8 and 10. It's all right.
Yes.
8 and 10.
Okay. And again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, I will give you all these things. If you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, go away, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Because that's not what you did. That's why you were thrown out. So.
Okay.
That's the same reason. What you're telling me to do is the same reason why you were thrown
right.
out of heaven, okay?
Right.
Exactly.
And that your footsteps. I know what I'm supposed to do. You're the one
why he have to come down here now to save the world because of his disobedience.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
I'm gonna
That's
be,
right. It's because of him.
Everything
I'm going to read this last paragraph before the end of the page. And then we're going to look at the homework, okay? There was no doubt in Satan's mind that Christ was the promised deliverer.
Hold on for a minute. It looks like Pastor's playing something in music and interfering.
Data the way you want to see it. See a breakdown.
Robert, you
got to
turn that music off. Yes.
Monday.com.
It's talking. It's talking.
Thank you.
All right, so I'll put him on mute.
Your picture of what's happening right now. With
okay, there we go. Okay, go ahead.
All right. There was no doubt in Satan's mind that Christ was the promised deliverer. But he wanted the Lord to assert his independence from the Father by turning the stones to bread. We already discussed that.
Mm-hmm.
Just as the manna given to Israel in the wilderness came from God, so Christ's food should come in the Father's time and way.
Mm-hmm.
To turn stones to bread will be to assert his independence of the will of the Father. Though he was hungry and it was right to eat, yet he would not eat independently of the Father's will. Satan had tempted him not away from spiritual food, but away from the Father and toward literal bread gained independently of the Father's will, gained without the Father saying so, gained without the Father directing him. All right?
Mm-hmm.
But eat this, do that, turn this, change that. Satan still follow to take things into their own hands rather than yielding. But to have cast him off the pinnacle or wing or projection of the temple. Robert.
I'm going to put myself on mute.
600 feet below and to have landed unharmed would certainly have been a spectacular sign of the Messiah. They would have been talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
But done so would have been to take a shortcut and show a lack of faith. Rashness, signs, or presumption never substitute for the constancy of faith.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be of faith. You can't change every little wind blowing different ways in that way, willy-nilly. You can't change like that. You have to stay faithful. Though Satan still tempts us to indulge in these.
Mm-hmm.
So I was curious what the other people said on Tamara Hall's show about faith. Did the other people say anything?
Nadine,
you
did. You know, it's just, unfortunately, she was the one who took the answer. You know, it was like, you know, she didn't really have time, and she's the one who volunteered with the answer. But when they did get to the pastor, oh, my God, he was so good, and he wasn't, you know, he was really calm, you know, he was a nice, calm man. And he talked about, you know, faith as Christians and other religions, he said, and, you know, just as, he's talking about our faith and how our faith at one time, you know, for some people, faith was being able to go to actually a church building. But he says, he says, our faith in Christ is with us wherever we go. And he's talking about how he had to start a Zoom. He said, you know, he was talking about how he, because he also has a Zoom church. His church is on Zoom. he said, using social media, you know, he found himself being able to connect mm-hmm. more with younger people, you mm-hmm. know, because a lot of young people, what he was saying is that a lot of young people are gravitating towards the Zoom because they don't feel the judgment. Because it was, that's how it started. The whole program started because it was a woman who was saying how she was young, how she felt so the judgment when she said the reason why, you know, a lot of young people are not coming to the church is because mm-hmm. of feeling judged by church members, you know, church politics. But with mm-hmm. this social media type thing, he's saying they're participating. They're participating more now than ever because they don't feel the judgment of church people.
Okay.
So that was
Yeah, it's interesting, quite interesting. We're going to go to the homework now, not to cut anything short. Evangelist Hilda, would you give us the assignment from last Wednesday? The topic, Wednesday before last, July 7th, was when will Satan be bound for a millennium?
Oh, where's my bike? Where's my paper? Oh, he's going to be bound for, for 1,000 years. Where did I put the paper? Or did I even do it?
You can't find it while you're looking. Nadine, do you have it?
Yes.
Can we hear you as well?
So, Satan. Mm-hmm. Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. He will be bound for 1,000 years. When Jesus comes back for Jesus' second coming. When Jesus comes back for his second coming, and the scriptures about the 1,000 years is found in Revelation 20. And mm-hmm. it talks about that when Jesus comes back, you know, there will be the rapture, mm-hmm. and those in Christ will rise. But there will still be those still here on earth, you know, who have not risen or had accepted Christ at that time. So when Christ comes back, Satan will be down for 1,000 years. And during that 1,000 years, during that 1,000 years on earth, there will be peace. There will be it will be a time of just pure goodness on earth
mm-hmm.
for the 1,000 mm-hmm. years. And then, because we're talking about those who have not accepted Christ who will still be here because, you know, we've already risen, they'll have a time to be on earth with Christ and they get an opportunity, you know, to accept Christ. And after the 1,000 years, then Satan will be let loose again. But so you know, from the scripture, it's basically saying that, you know, will these people still go with Satan? And he's not coming back for that long. But when he comes back, you know, are they going to, from the goodness that they just lived in Christ, is that enough for them not to want to go to Satan? You know, and if they do, they all go forever into the pit of hell for a lifetime.
Okay. Anything else?
Hilda?
No, I'm talking to you. No, anything else?
Oh, to me?
Uh-huh.
No, I think that was basically it in a nutshell.
Okay.
About that.
Very good. Thank you. Evangelist, did you find your paper, your homework?
Well, I wrote down what it was in Revelation 20 2 through 4 and it's talking about the millennium. And it just said that, you know, the 1,000 years are often referred to as a millennium for Latin of 1,000. But just how and when this 1,000 years take place is understood differently and among Christian scholars. And the three They said that the three major positions on this issue are called the post-millennialism, pre-millennialism, and millennialism. But anyway,
right, which the last one means.
Yeah, those things that, you
like,
know, that millennium.
Not real.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the post-millennium says that look for a literal 1,000 years of peace, like Nadine was saying, peace on earth, ushered in by the church. And at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan will be unleashed once more, but then Satan will return to defeat and reign forever. But Christ's second coming will not occur.
Hold it. Wait a minute. He will come back again, and then he will reign forever.
I'm reading what it's saying.
I'm trying to hear what you're saying.
This is the post-millennialism. It says, look for the literal 1,000-year period of peace on earth. So if for that first 1,000 years, it's going to be peace on earth. Right?
Got it.
Then it says Satan will be unleashed once more, but then Christ will return to defeat him and reign forever.
Christ will reign forever.
Thank you, because you made it sound like the devil was coming back and he's going to reign again without you.
No.
That's what you read. That's why I'm saying. Wait a minute. Back up there.
I know.
Okay.
Maybe I read it too fast.
You did?
No.
Yes.
Anything else?
Let's see. No. Because I was more focused on what was I looking at? The Antichrist.
Well, that was another assignment.
You had gave us two.
Not at the same time.
No. Well,
what happened is
you guys
didn't do the homework assignment when I gave it to you on June the 23rd.
That was
the Antichrist. So I asked you to do it again, and you did. But in the meantime, I had given you the assignment on July the 7th, which is the last time I was with you, was to talk about the millennium and when will Satan be bound for a millennium. Well done, ladies. Well done. But I just want to read mine if you indulge me for 1 minute.
Okay.
Oh, please, absolutely.
Or two. Okay. A few points. It says the 1,000-year reign of Christ, Revelation 20, as was said, they point out 20, verse 2, 4 through 7. We won't take time to go into it, but I just want to give you like an overview. The regeneration, Matthew 19 and 28. Number three, Satan will be bound, Revelation 21 through 10. Number four, it will be between the second advent. What's the second advent?
The second coming of Christ.
Amen. And the new heaven and new earth.
Mm-hmm.
And five, it will be a theocratic government. What does that mean?
What's a theocratic?
Theocratic is God. It's just God. God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And I have various scriptures here. And then purpose of God in the millennium reign of Jesus Christ. 10 things. To restore Israel. I didn't write all 10. Number four was to restore Israel and deliver them from the nations and make them the head of all nations forever. And I don't know if you've heard that when the second advent comes, Jerusalem is going to be the head of the world. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we can find that in Acts and Matthew and Isaiah and Deuteronomy. And number 10 that I wrote, it said, restore all things as before the world That's the whole point of the millennium. And we're looking at it like, okay, this is the millennium. When we came into the year 2000, that's the millennium. But we are to understand that the millennium that God is talking about in his word is not this so much. It's whenever they decide the millennium can be another 1,000 years from now when the second advent is going to take. We don't know. But it is that the devil will get to reign for 1,000 years, and then the second advent. I just want to read one more point. The millennium will end in one more short period of rebellion. Then the all rebels will take place, leaving the saints, natural and resurrected, in charge of eternal perfection of earth. And we get scriptures from Revelation, Peter, and Isaiah. So, ladies, I'm going to say thank you for a job well done. I enjoyed that. Can't wait to get our home at the hip next week on Tuesday night.
What's the homework?
Nothing.
Tyree. You mean the King Tyree or the
whatever
city
you
Tyree.
Find out about Tyree, whatever you
whatever
find
you
out
find
Tyree.
Out, because was Tyree the name of a king?
Yes, there was a king named Tyree.
No.
Well, that's all.
There wasn't a king. The king of Tyree. We know about the king of Tyree. That's
the
what,
king
that's
of
what
Tyree.
I really talked
right.
about.
Oh,
the king
oh,
of
yes.
Tyree.
Okay.
But not a king named Tyree.
Okay.
So what we want to do, and I don't want to take Nadine's thing, but the thing was to get the progenitor of the king of Tyree. Who was
right.
the progenitor of the king of Tyree? Where he come from? Where he come from?
Well, say where he come from.
That's what I said.
Yeah, who is his
mama and daddy?
This who's mama and daddy?
Who's his mama and daddy? All right?
Yeah.
The king of Tyree.
Mama and daddy
mama
of
and daddy.
Tyree. Okay.
No, not a Tyree. Of the king
not
of Tyree. Say that because that's not his name.
Say king of Tyree.
King of Tyree.
Right, because that's
the
not his
mama,
name. Tyree is not his name.
Who's the mama and daddy?
Yes, ma'am. The progenitors of King of Tyree.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Okay.
All right.
I had a lovely time tonight, ladies.
Me too.
Yeah, me too. Yay.
Thank you. I'm going to ask Lady Nadine, would you take us out in prayer?
Yes. Ooh, Lord God, we thank you, Lord God. We praise you, Lord God, because, Lord God, we just love you more and more and more, Father, as we delve deeper and deeper into your word, Lord God. Lord God, we feel your love, Lord God, for us. And we can't thank you enough. We have not enough tongues to thank you, God, for what you have done for us, what you have done for the world, Lord God.
Yes.
So we praise you in Jesus' name. Lord God, bless everyone who is on this line, Lord God. A special blessing, Lord God, to Mother Wiggins, Lord God, as she moves in her, what she's doing, Lord God, at home, Lord God, that is preventing her from coming, Lord God. But, Lord God, you are in total control, Lord God. And, Lord God, continue to bless Sister Barbara, Lord God, as she teaches this class, Lord God, with such excellence, Lord God.
Yes,
Lord God, we just
thank
you, praise you, thank you, Lord God, for Hilda, Lord God, and
yes,
Lord God, she is
thank
so
you,
committed
Lord.
To this line. Pray one for another, Lord God.
Thank
so
you,
we
Lord.
Just thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Love you all, ladies.
Do we have practice on Friday, Nadine?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cause
yeah.
I need to know to make the reservation.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right, guys.
Okay, ladies.
Enjoy.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Love you guys. Okay, where's my song? I can't leave without my song. All to this, all belongs to you.
Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 104.